You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! Caught me by surprise. How you feeling, Slee?
What's
You're looking
on,
good. You look like you got a little sparkle in your eye, a little yeah. bounce in your step. A little recovery from yesterday.
A day removed.
Yeah.
Kind of ready to go. Turn the page and let's keep it moving.
Let's keep it moving.
Right?
Well, I mean, you might not like what I have to say today, but we'll see. I don't think you're going to like it at all, but we'll see.
Here's why I won't like it.
Okay.
There's probably a lot of honesty to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't like to hear honesty. You don't like to hear
none of
truth.
Us really like hard truths,
hard
I think
truths.
Is what they're called.
Yeah,
hard truths can be uncomfortable, and unfortunately, the Lakers' hard truth is staring them right in the face. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Today is an Ask Emily Day. We got
Ask
that
Emily.
Coming up. Roars to you.
Do
you see what she did to me?
I did not, but I already could
and then
tell it
Yates
was mean.
Co-signed it on the internet.
What the hell is going on here, man?
I was just sharing with you some very valuable news from ABC7. Because ABC7,
home of Kurt Sandoval.
Home of Kurt Sandoval, but home of great local news, and we should support our local news. Okay, so I'm scrolling through their Twitter feed, and I see this very pertinent article that I thought you should
I already
know.
Don't like where it's going.
All right, so here's what the caption on this photo that you can go click the link for the story. It says, mm-hmm. Since people are living longer, healthier lives, what we think as quote-unquote old today has gotten a lot older than what it used to be, researchers say. At what age would you consider someone old? And I just tagged Travis.
All it was her retweeting it with my name on it. That's it.
Yes.
Honestly, that...
I thought you wanted to see
it. And then Yates, I forget what he did, but he basically laughed at it, and that's what he did.
He said he liked some... this is some hardcore trolling.
Yes.
That should
oh, no,
qualify...
Sorry. This is delightfully out of pocket.
That's what it was.
As a suspendable account. Like, all the stuff going on...
Cyberbullied.
All that stuff going on
as bullying.
On X right now.
Well,
about
you,
every political thing that you could think of. They need to stop worrying about that for a quick second. And
you would think, as somebody of an advanced age, that I would be immune to cyberbullying, and yet here we are.
Apparently
not.
Did
it take you a long time to see that I tagged
well,
with
did
this?
You know how I found it? She goes, have you...
She printed it out.
In large font. I enlarged it.
She goes, did you see what I tagged you on in Twitter? I went, no. And then I
that
looked it
great.
Up. I'm like, well, that's not very nice at all.
You put your glasses on. You had to get really close to the screen,
well,
make it extra
I mean,
large. And then you realize what I had tagged.
I had to blow. I had to go larger font on my phone on the golf course on Sunday morning because
yeah.
I don't play golf with my glasses on because I have like what are trifocals basically. So you can't focus on the ball necessarily. So I play without them. And I check my phone occasionally when I'm playing golf. Couldn't see a damn thing. Like, it literally looked like someone had smeared Vaseline on the screen. There was no chance to read a single thing. So I was basically getting, like, three letters a screen so I could read it.
I mean, did you learn anything valuable from this article, though? Maybe it would help you.
I have not had the opportunity to peruse said article,
he'll get to
Emily.
It. He'll get to it.
So Emily is in the Ask chair today. So you can send them to me at Travis Rogers. You can send them to Al at Alan Sliwa. And, of course, you can send them to Jorge at Jabcam LA. Buenos dias, Jorge.
Hey, buenos dias.
How you feeling?
I'm getting ready for later today.
Oh yeah, are we in a good spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just making sure everything's ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I saw you today,
you
yeah,
just because I haven't
spiffy,
seen you
by the way,
I haven't seen you in a collared shirt in a long time, and instantly the first thing that went through my mind is our sales numbers are killing it.
Do I have a sales vibe going?
Our sales,
I don't know if I like.
Well, collared shirt.
Yeah.
Like well, a, I mean, it's yeah,
a
it's a dress shirt.
Like a sales manager.
Okay. At least I'm in management.
You just hit the
Best Buy manager.
You just hit the April budget.
Good.
But now you're now
I'm already
the,
worried about May.
Attention is shifting. You know, if you're already in the month and you're trying to hit that budget, that's not a good thing.
I'm manager at CarMax.
Do my new crispy Vans not at least help my cool factor a little
blue?
Bit?
No.
What color are they?
What?
Blue?
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny because I did notice the Vans.
Oh, yeah.
But I only noticed the Vans after. because you're sitting right there.
Well, yeah, maybe.
So
I mean,
wasn't noticing that.
Yeah.
I think the Vans is not necessarily a fashion choice, but a necessity choice for you.
What do you mean?
Well, because you always wear the Vans because you say it's comfortable. And
they are comfortable.
Them, but when I think that it's less of a fashion choice. More
but they're new. I got out new color coordinated ones with my shirt today. Come on.
When did the taco Vans come out? When do you get the taco ones out?
You know, it's funny. I wore them the other day. I don't know if my feet have grown or because it's been a long time since I wore them, if they shrunk a little bit. They weren't super comfortable, but I'm considering maybe a Mandy's appearance with the taco Vans.
Oh.
We'll see.
Well, Mandy's
they're good.
But
they're red, so they're very un-Travis other than the fact that they have tacos on them, but we'll see. We'll see. I said M because M's dressed nicely today as well. She does not look like a Best Buy manager. She looks like
his outfit many times before.
I know, but it's not part of your typical rotation. It's
other week rotation.
Yeah. If we all have the 10 things we wear, and then there's three other things that we occasionally wear, this falls into the
stand out.
Yeah. And I said to her, I said, you know, you look nice today. What, you know, what's the occasion? And she said, well, all my other stuff's packed because I'm moving on Sunday. Yeah. So this was more of a necessity than anything else?
Yeah, I've been in the process of packing. So I have, like, the clothes that are dirty, and those are basically clothes that are in rotation. So I'm both in need of going to the laundry and then also packed the rest of my clothes. So this is a very few select things that are work appropriate that are available right now. So kind of living half in, half out of my house.
You excited?
No. I mean, I'm excited for the new place.
That's
I'm not
what
excited
I mean.
For the process of moving.
No, the process
sucks.
Of moving is literally
it
the worst.
Sucks.
But once you get there and...
Yeah, I'm excited to have my new roommate.
Are you a fast unpacker?
Yes. I'm a fast unpacker and I try to be a long-term packer. So since I've known I was going to move, I try to do at least something regarding packing every day so that when it comes to be Saturday, that I'm not like everything needs to get packed up in one place. So I try to do maybe two bags, two boxes every day so that I know that I'm pacing this out.
What's wrong with us?
So I don't feel overwhelmed.
Many, many things.
I mean, I've moved
a bunch
of times.
As she's saying that, I mean, I any time that I've moved, I swear it was like, Six hours left in the lease. I should get going.
It's incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, ending of a relationship or getting.
And sometimes any relationship leads to a move.
Right. Getting fired from work.
Yeah.
Like moving is one of the top triggers for stressful behaviors.
Yeah. But I haven't been
you're ahead
I mean,
of it.
That stressed.
No. Yeah. That you are put together as far as your clothes go, that you're packed ahead of time. I'm with you. I'd be like,
she
we're moving.
Yell at us out of nowhere.
Moving on Sunday. How about we get started? Let's get a pizza on Saturday night. We'll knock it out.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I finally end up giving away everything. I'm like, I don't.
Just leave it.
Goodness gracious. I've given away probably two. You know those blue bags that USS helped me move? But I gave away. I probably donated probably
that's a good
two,
thing.
Three full
like
bags.
It's a lot.
Of that clothes. Because again, you know, I hold on to stuff. I finally got rid of the last of my sorority things. Mostly just because, you know, it's just not a part of my life anymore. I'm okay with letting go of the t-shirts that I have.
You don't want
to. That's what's funny. Wouldn't you agree that whatever you have, you end up literally wearing maybe 10 to 15% of what you got. I'm pretty light with what I have. I don't have crazy amount of stuff. I go through the same rotation every single day. Like, I'm literally just using the same stuff. There's a certain part of my closet all the way to the right. I'm like, I don't use 60% of the stuff that's in here.
Usually. Do you follow the rule? The rule being, if you can't remember the last time you wore it, throw it out.
I don't, but I'm pretty good at throwing stuff out.
Yeah. If you don't, like, I love that t-shirt. Yo, when's the last time you wore it? I don't know. Trash.
And also, I, like, don't, like, want to go through the whole rigmarole of, like, selling things. In terms of, like, just, like, clothing.
Give it away.
Items.
Donate.
Because I have, there's some items of clothing that I have that are quite valuable, though, that I'm.
That's a girl thing, I think.
Interested in maybe trying to sell.
Yeah,
but
Kelly
I'm also,
does
like,
that.
Maybe I'll keep it because I have, okay, so.
If you can get money for it, great.
I have a barber jacket, which is a very fancy jacket. And.
Would you like to ask or would you like me to do it?
What
the hell
barber
is a barber jacket?
Yeah.
look it up. It's a BARBOUR. And these are, I got it as a Christmas present from my parents. And so I still have it. But it is a jacket that I can't really wear in Los Angeles very much. It's a little bit heavier of a jacket.
When you said barber jacket, I thought like a jacket you wear to cut hair.
Yeah.
It's got the little barber pole like pockets. Insignia on it, the pocket, so it comes with barbicide.
So insight into sorority rush on the East Coast that no one cares about. But I rushed in the wintertime, which means it was cold. So most of the times when you go to these houses, you take off your jacket and give your jacket to the other girl, and then she gives it back to you at the end of going to this house. And so I got a nice jacket because people would judge you by what jacket you had. And so I wanted a nice jacket for Sorority Rush, and it's a very nice jacket, and I still wear it, but I just don't wear it as much.
Sell the barber jacket. Maybe there's a barber somewhere that needs a jacket.
Yeah.
Come on. You thought 100%. Barber jacket.
I had no idea what she was talking about.
Well, that's why I stopped. He's like, well, somebody's got to ask. Jorge, I looked at Jorge. He's looking at me.
Like
the three
name.
Of us are looking at each other.
What's
like,
a barber
none
jacket?
Of us know, right? Okay, I'm asking.
The British royal family wears the barber jackets occasionally.
Sure. Oh, well, sure. Of course.
Sure.
Of course. Slee, we spent a lot of time about the Lakers yesterday, and I think this is where we need to get started, because when we were having our little conversation this morning about, hey, what needs to happen tomorrow? How do the Lakers get back into it? This, that, and the other. They had their chance last night or two nights ago. Mm-hmm. They had their chance on Monday night, and the path to winning the series for the Lakers was pretty narrow to begin with, mm-hmm. and they kind of slid through it for three quarters on Monday night, and they fell off for all the reasons we talked about yesterday. We can talk a little bit more on today, and there isn't a way back on it, unfortunately. I just they've lost to him 10 times in a row. That's just true. You're telling me that the team that has beaten you 10 straight times, you're going to find a way to beat them four of the next five? I just don't see it. And not just because it's a bad match. They're the best team. Mm-hmm. They're clearly the best team. They're playing like the best team.
If you got a shot to win one and you don't capitalize on it, I mean, you're literally now, I think that game from Monday, not only was it an L, it was such a demoralizing L that you could have won. You think Denver's going to get any better as the series goes along?
Of course they are.
Probably. Think Denver's going to shoot 25% from three? Probably not.
You said it 10 times yesterday. Mm-hmm. Denver didn't play well until the fourth quarter. Now, that's what really good teams do. They find a way to play well in the fourth quarter. They find a way to play well at the end of games. But that was your chance. D'Angelo made shots. LeBron was terrific. AD was terrific right up until he wasn't. And everything was right there. And the Nuggets, I mentioned this last week. They backed up just enough to make you say, hey, we got a shot, and you lost anyway. What are we doing? Could they win one? Sure. But are they going to win? The series is over. So I've already kind of where do you go from here? Because when you look at the Western Conference, specifically the Nuggets, the Thunder, and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then, oh, by the way, throw in the Spurs with Wembanyama coming. You mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies with John Morant returning.
They were number two seed in the West last year. They're going to be good again.
So where does that leave you? Where in the world does that leave you? We're going to get into that next. Plus, we got Ask M coming up at 10:45. All of that. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Are you dealing with a dead battery? If so, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like their free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you just need a fresh charge. And if you happen to need a replacement, they can help with that as well. It's the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So the next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So we were talking about the Lakers and the Nuggets from Monday night, and I think yesterday I called it an exciting catastrophe is what it was. The ending was wild and exciting, but just if you're a Laker fan, awful.
Catastrophe.
Yeah. Catastrophic for sure. The game before it was the Sixers and the Knicks was a great ending too. And because, you know, I don't have any emotional connection to it. It was just fun to watch. And we played it yesterday, but this is Mike Breen with the double bang on Dante DiVincenzo.
Won't go. Hartenstein, the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Okay. So Mike Breen's been the voice of the NBA for close to, if it's not 20 years, and it might be close to 20 years.
Yeah.
You know how many shots he's double banged in his career? Somebody went through and counted it yesterday.
I'll take a guess.
Yeah.
Small number.
It's a very small number.
Five.
Really close. Em, did you see the same one I did?
Yeah.
Seven?
Six.
Was it six?
Well, there were six previously.
Oh, yeah. So
this would be the seven.
Dante made seven times. That's less than once a year you're double banging it.
I love that
somebody counted. Say,
I love that that's a thing.
I know.
Because the first thing John mentioned when we walked in, he's like, got a double bang there.
Bang.
Like, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was possible.
I knew he didn't do it a lot, but I thought he did it occasionally, like maybe four or five times a year.
Yeah.
Not once every other year.
Is it only playoff games?
I was going to say, you know what would suck
great
if we
question.
Went back to go see which ones he did it in, and it was like a game versus the Wizards in January. Why would you do it there?
To end the half.
It was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
It was crazy. And, of course, the Laker game was crazy on Monday night as well. Let me turn that off. It was the series. You said it going into it. They got to win one of the first two. You got to come back to L.A. with at least a chance to split again, quite frankly, and make this uncomfortable for the Nuggets. Make them start to sweat it, because we saw what it looks like when they start to sweat it a little bit on Monday, and they looked great, right? They responded after three quarters of not great basketball with great basketball. Their best guy, or their second best guy, had a terrible night, and then he had a great night and won the game for his team. They lose. Or the Lakers lose, I should say. It felt like that was your shot. And could they win a game? Yeah, great. Okay, but so what? Is there any meaningful difference in having this series go four or five or even six games?
Yeah, well, I think what you're trying to say is this, that if the Lakers won game two, being tied at one apiece, I don't think everybody was going to start swinging and saying,
no.
Oh, watch out for the Lakers. No. They're going to win the series. But you at least said...
See what happens next.
I think this is the thing that I tried emphasizing before the season started. If you split in Denver and you split in L.A., it's a three-game set.
Yeah.
And that was the idea in the cup. Not that everyone was going to swing over and say, oh, the Lakers are going to win the series, because I don't think that would happen at any point in the series just because of how good Denver is. But now you're in that 0-2 hole. So what you're saying about... what does it matter whether this series goes four or goes five games? Let's say the Lakers split the next two games. They win one here in L.A.
They're going back to Denver down 3-1.
They're going back 3-1, and probably the series ends 4-1. So I know what you're referring to there.
And it's just it's not just that it's 2-0, which is bad in and of itself. It's that it's 2-0, and the best – if you're going to draw a blueprint, hey, how are you going to grab one? It's exactly what happened on Monday night. It's exactly what happened. Jamal Murray has a bad game. Okay. LeBron James finds his time machine, and he looks like he's 32 years old all over again.
Big plays on offense.
And he did.
Big plays on defense.
AD is great on both ends of the court. He was right up until he wasn't. D'Angelo Russell finds his three-point shot.
He's not hitting seven threes again in this series.
Great. Mm-hmm. All of those things happen. They're down 2-0. So if all of those things happened and you're down 2-0, The optimism of well, if they can win tonight, yeah, I get it. I never say never. I get it. It's over. So my question, I've already kind of turned the page to, and by the way, this isn't just the Lakers. This is the Clippers, potentially. If they get taken out by the Dallas Mavericks, the Suns are down 2-0.
The Warriors
didn't even make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're looking at these teams along the way, and the question I keep having is, what do you do? Denver's in at the beginning of this run, not even in the middle of it. They're at the beginning of this incredible run. San Antonio has a guy that if he can stay healthy, he's going to change the league. you've got a team in Minnesota that's got the next big thing in the league potentially in Anthony Edwards.
Best defense in the NBA. They got role players. They got vets. They got a really nice mix of players.
OKC's the number one seed. They're the youngest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Ja Morant is one of the 5 or 10 best players in the league. He's on a different team too. If you're the Suns, if you're the Clippers, if you're the Lakers, if you're the Warriors, and the core of your team are really good players, but older guys, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, what the heck do you do moving forward when you see how the landscape is changing? Because those guys are hard to move. You're not going to get a lot of other guys to come in. Those teams are getting better. And that's just looking at the Lakers versus the Nuggets, I keep coming back to, never mind this. Why is it going to be different next year? Lakers are going to have kind of sort of the same team. Maybe they have a different coach. Maybe you get a third guy. How do you get past this laundry list of really good teams in the West?
Well, I think you're also, each one of these teams that you mentioned, the Golden State Warriors are all in, and they're hitting this crazy luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make the playoffs. The Lakers, you can't be any more all in.
Of course not.
You're the number 7 seed, and you may very well, by the time we're a week away from today, you're already doing the exit interviews for the Lakers. Look, hope I'm wrong, but that looks like where it's heading. The Phoenix Suns gave up so much to go get KD and Bradley Beal, and let's put this whole thing together. They're all in. You can't get any more all in. So I think it's
aside, and they might get swept too.
Aside from, and the Clippers is an interesting one too, because it's 1-1 right now. We'll see what happens. But Kawhi is still dealing with his injuries and trying to come back. I think it's not just that. These are all players that at one point, Kawhi Leonard is a 2-time finals MVP. LeBron James, I don't need to tell you his resume. Steph, KD, I don't need to give you guys their resume. But every one of those franchises that those guys represent, the chips are all in. And there isn't this, well, after this year, there's a ton of flexibility and they could do this and they can do that. I don't know what they're going to do. And I'm talking about just all these teams in general. It's fascinating because what all those teams have in common is they're all in.
Mm-hmm.
None of them seem like they're a true threat to go win an NBA championship. And none of them have this flexibility of, yeah, but after this season, this is going to happen. And what you just mentioned, go look at the rest of the Western Conference. OKC, for the most part, other than Shea, organically grown, and they got how many draft picks over the next X amount of years?
Yep.
The Denver Nuggets don't look like they're going anywhere. Jamal Murray and Jokic are
neither one of them is 30.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not even in their prime, or you could say Joker's
beginning
in
of
the
their
start
prime.
Of his prime. It's a fascinating way to look at it.
Luka is still in his early 20s and getting better every year. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie, you know, Kyrie's not a young player, but knock on wood, and this could be the thing that we laugh at 2 days from now, quite frankly, with Kyrie, he seems to be pretty happy in Dallas. It seems to be a pretty good fit
good situation
for him. And no one's ever said he's not a great player. He's just kind of a weird guy. He just does crazy stuff.
But Dallas seemed to have calmed whatever waters that were
for
were
now
rough
at least.
Before. Yeah,
Memphis is going to be really good next year, assuming Ja doesn't do something dumb. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I guess is, did it not look for at least 10 seconds that Zion Williamson figured something out?
Sure.
Right? When he was just handing it to LeBron for an hour. And I get it. He says he's been hurt. He's overweight. He's all, but that's a whole nother team in the West. That's a whole nother guy on a team that's got a lot of good young players along the way. And
but I like how you lumped all these players and teams together, because I think all of them are, we got to win right now. And none of them seem close to winning right now.
None of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, well, okay, Denver is the team to beat. Okay, they are. But if it's not them, it's going to be OKC. If it's not them, it's going to be Minnesota. If it's not them, it's going to be San Antonio before too long, and they get a piece or two around Wembanyama. The Lakers and the Clippers and the Warriors and the Suns, and it's just, guys, there aren't a lot of moves left on the board.
And I don't think any of them in this offseason will, hey, guys, we got to start the rebuilding process.
The only one that feels like you could even remotely maybe jumpstart that would be Phoenix, because I guess you could flip KD again if you wanted to. Maybe Devin Booker wants out. Like, but just there are.
Might as well keep him. He's the young one.
Yeah, and you just re-signed him. But what are you going to do?
Who wants KD?
That's right what now. He's still really good, but you're right. He's old.
Sure,
he's old.
What team's going to give you a haul for KD right now?
Somebody that thinks they're right
haul.
On the edge.
I was going to say
they're
you know,
right on the
can
edge.
Can I give you a team?
Yeah, go ahead.
OKC.
That's not what I was going to say, but interesting.
Miami?
No. The Warriors, the Lakers, and trying to fit them in economically, I know, but a team that's like, hey, we just go, can we go a little more all in that will give you even more of our future that isn't great to begin with and go a little more all in? I know that the money needs to work out, but it wasn't just that the Lakers missed a shot on Monday night for the series. When you take a step back and you look at it,
it's good perspective.
The balance of power in the whole damn conference is upside down. The teams that everything has run through, the Lakers and the Warriors, and, you know, maybe not the Clippers specifically, but Kawhi Leonard has been on, you know, and he hasn't been that guy for, what, 4 years? He's he didn't look great last night. I know he just got back, but he's constantly here. Paul George isn't even re-signed. Does Paul George even want to stay? Maybe he wants to go somewhere else. It just felt like
changing of the guard. It is the whole thing. I was going to say, and it's not that it, I guess you could say it happened quick. I guess you could say it's in the process of happening as we sit here. But every player that we just mentioned, champion, finals MVP, has kind of been the face of the league for a long time. And you could definitely tell they're on the back nine. Not even the back nine. I'd say the back.
They're on the 17th green.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even that they're on the 10th tee. They're on the 17th green. And then that brings up the question of what do you do? What can you do? And then you look at the bench for the Lakers specifically. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You didn't try to race anybody again, did you?
I've been laying low, man. I've been laying low and just making bad decisions.
Training.
To be honest with you.
He's training.
Dude, I've been training my arms with like, dude, I stopped by the other day, Jack in the Box, got myself, this is my order.
Okay.
Jumbo Jack with cheese.
Okay.
No onions, no tomatoes, right? 2 tacos, large, curly fries, a Coke, and a little chocolate cake.
Everything all right over there? That's bro. Aggressive.
I don't know what's happening, man.
Couple financial questions for you. What's a Jumbo Jack these days?
Look, I ended up paying like $23, man.
$23?
At Jack in the Box, that's a fortune.
Damn right it is.
Literally to Fleming's Happy Hour and got one of their burgers.
Funchy told me. Funchy,
I think it's 16.
Funchy said he went to Carl's Jr. and spent $33 on 2 combos. $33 plus tax. I'm pretty sure like $35 just because him and his wife were hungry, craving Carl's Jr. is like $35. I'm like, man, when I saw $23 on that screen, I was like, what am I doing?
I think I've told you this before. When I was in high school, Jack in the Box was like the go-to.
Yeah, you get there 2 tacos for 99 cents. Yeah.
2 tacos, and the Jumbo Jack was 99 cents. So I was walking around $2.13 in. I'm like, let me get a couple of those hot sauce ranch packets, all that stuff. I was walking around like a king.
That's... Damn. Big, Jorge.
I know.
Are you trying to medicate your pulled quad with Jumbo Jack?
Hey, somehow.
He's depressed. He's depressed. He was up 2-0.
I have a Jack in the Box story, too. So on Sunday, I was not feeling my best. I had had a night on Saturday. And so Sunday was, I was in the sun a lot for kickball. And then I was just like hungover and whatever. So I come home. I was going to make food. I decided I'm just going to order DoorDash. And so I'd never ordered DoorDash from Jack in the Box before, but I was like, I want to have Jack in the Box. Like, they were like late night box. So it's like $13, but it's like a ton of food, whatever.
And is this the, what is it called? The
fourth meal, late night.
No, but it's called Munchie. Munchie.
So I get
box.
That
there we go.
Delivered to my house on DoorDash. Pretty cheap. I think total like $15 to have DoorDash pass. So I go to pick it up and I walk upstairs. One, my roommate is having some friends over. So I was just kind of trying to avoid human interaction. I go downstairs. I get my box from my front porch. I walk upstairs. I trip, I fall, I spill all of my soda.
Oh,
the
no.
The food luckily stayed in one place. What? I have a big bruise on my leg. My roommate, who is like, you good? And I'm
was
like,
was it one of the
yep.
big sodas, too?
It wasn't a huge soda, but it was definitely everywhere. Not a small amount of soda. So I had to then clean up all of that sticky soda.
And that's
soda
how you
goodness.
Get ants, Slee.
Yes. And so
floor.
I also, I had to do like the... like, not walk of shame, but the cry of shame, like, yeah, I'm fine. I just tripped and fell. And
oh, was there a big thud? And everyone's like, are you okay?
Yeah, she has her friends over, big thud. And it's like, you good? And I'm like, yep.
Oh, it couldn't be better as the soda is splashed everywhere within 15
feet.
Yeah,
and don't get up too quickly. Don't help me clean it up at all.
Hey, that Jack in the Box drink looks like a double gulp now.
It's big.
Yeah.
You know what of all the things he went through, the thing that made me just go, oh, my God, that sounds good. Curly fries at
the
Jack in the Box.
Oh, those are pretty good.
Shit.
You take a couple fries, a drink of your Coke.
They are so good. Yeah. They are so good.
And chocolate those tacos, fingers. Their tacos are so, they're actually right out of Mexico City.
Yeah, they're very authentic. Yep. Very, very authentic. It's exactly.
Guadalajara. They're shipped from Guadalajara.
They're great.
Yeah, right. No, they're not.
So the story's the wrong word. There's a rumor floating around that Anthony Irwin put out there that the Lakers are going to bring Darvin Ham back regardless of first-round result, that they've made up their mind. And so, okay. And I heard somebody say it to me yesterday that is the first thing. I still think it's a bad idea to bring him back, but it's the first thing I'd heard that made me think, all right, at least that's a decent reason to consider bringing him back. The Lakers have just been basically a turnstile of head coaches over the last, not just last couple of coaches, but you could go back 3, 4, 5 coaches where go back to Byron Scott, Luke Walton, Mike Brown, Dan Toney, who am I forgetting? Frank Vogel, for Darvin Ham, right? Like 3 years feels like an eternity at this point to before you're moving on to the next guy and you're having to pay these people out. You're having to, you know, it's the perception of it that you can't hold on, not even can't hold on, but you've picked the wrong guy, I guess,
bad look.
So many times in
any,
a row.
Any company that keeps recycling new CEOs or
right.
it's a reflection on your company.
Of course it is.
You've got to find the right person.
That being said, and that was the first thing that made me go, all right, at least there's some logic. I disagree with the ultimate decision, but there's some logic to that along the way. You still got to make a change. Because like we were talking about last segment, if the Western Conference has kind of been flipped, that the Nuggets and the Mavs and OKC and Minnesota and Memphis and New Orleans are the teams that we think that are going to be the teams that you're going to have to go through over the next 4 or 5 years. And the Lakers, Warriors, Suns, Clippers are going to be the teams that are trying to figure out how to get this done. Let's throw the Spurs in there too. And you don't have a ton of flexibility. You're a little bit old because just LeBron's a part of your team, and he's almost certainly going to be a part of the team next year as well. Don't you have to change something? And isn't the most logical thing to change the head coach? I mean, we saw what happened on Monday night. Having no coach there would have resulted in the same thing as having Darvin Ham there. Just watch the game go by.
Well, I'd say this, and just first on that report. Why would you make any decision right now, period? Like, what would make you think currently in the playoffs, no, we're leaving that alone.
Well, is it not what we just talked about?
You're right.
The economics of it?
But let's just, if the goal is, and I don't think the Lakers have financial issues. I think they're okay. I think that organization is a powerful enough brand that has 19,000 people in that arena every single game, which is on 40 nationally televised games, if you include the NBA channel, a year. LeBron, this. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think what is associated with Lakers basketball is you have to win. That's the first thing associated with Lakers basketball. It is, and it didn't start yesterday, right? That you can't say that. There's a lot of franchises out there that you cannot speak that about. You could say that about the Yankees. You could say there's a few franchises.
There's less than 10 in all of sports.
There's a few franchises that you say, yeah, you have to win because that's what your franchise does. Mm-hmm. Lakers are one of those.
For sure.
Okay, so if now we're looking at, now start looking at the actual coaching piece of it. You know how the Lakers could potentially turn things around? Potentially. If you start looking at next year and you start kind of asking yourself this question, personnel, LeBron's going to be a year older. What are they going to do with their role players? Is D'Angelo Russell, is he signing his player options? All that stuff. What you got to ask yourself is, if we got somebody that we thought, from a coaching perspective, that when you walk away from a game, you can say, Steve Kerr had a lot to do with why the Warriors just won that game. I know that's maybe not a fair example because he's arguably that. Eric Spoelstra, Michael Malone, go down the list, right? Some of these coaches in the NBA that you're like, I feel like Rick Carlisle, Nick Nurse, go down the list, Ty Lue, whoever it is.
Well, it's funny, can I stop you right there? Because I was watching the Clippers and the Mavs last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't a great game. It was an exciting finish, whatever. But there was never at any point where you're going, Ty Lue, do something. What are you doing over there? No one. If you asked 100 NBA fans, is Ty Lue a bad coach? I don't think you'd get 100. Yeah, he kind of sucks. I think you'd get 100. No, he's pretty good. Same thing with Jason Kidd. Is Jason Kidd a bad coach? You're not getting 100. Yeah, that guy's a bad coach. If you asked 100 NBA fans, is Darvin Ham a bad coach? You're getting 98. Yeah, he's not very good. That can't be the answer.
Well, and I think this is where I'm kind of falling along to. It's ultimately at the end of the day, if this is it, you know, this is your kind of last hurrah. Maybe next year is the last hurrah with LeBron James. I know we've been saying that for a long time. You got to be perfect. You can't have weaknesses if you have a shot at. You can't have something hurt you along the way. I walked away from game two. One of my primary takeaways from game two is I don't know how we were doing in the second half. There was no organization in the second half. There was no plays being ran. There was no, guys, I'm using my timeout here for this. Guys, I'm using my review right here because of this. I didn't feel that. So
did you feel it from Michael Malone?
Oh, of course.
That's what I mean. And I get it. You don't want to have to pay another coach to sit at home and play golf or whatever they do when they're not coaching basketball. Okay, fine. I get it. And if it were just... Let's use this as the example. If it were Frank Vogel and you just don't want to do it anymore, like I don't want to recycle it anymore, we got to do this last year. We got to do one more just because we need some stability. Frank Vogel's not a net negative. It's just, all right, you know, he's an NBA coach.
He's got a resume.
Yeah.
He's got a resume.
That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is. This what you gain in stability or finance does not outweigh the, yeah, we're fighting with one hand tied behind our back over here.
I will say this, and I think this comes with all sports, right? For the time that I've been covering the Lakers here, at least, it's been Luke Walton, it's been Frank Vogel, and now Darvin Ham. I get when people are like, you got to get rid of Luke, you know, you're 10 games in. You got to get rid of Frank, they just won a championship. Like, right. I get that. That happens, it happens with fans. But I think you could tell when the dust settles, who are the premier elite coaches around the league. I mean, use Frank Vogel as an example. They're down 0-2 already.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to be out in the first
round.
And
they might fire him.
And Ty Lue could potentially be done in the next, not him specifically, his team could be done within the next week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm not telling you it's perfect because it's not.
Yep.
But I think what we've seen at least so far, that's a weakness for the Lakers.
Well, flip it on its head. Frank Vogel gets fired at the end of this series. Is he an NBA head coach again relatively soon?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Ty Lue gets fired at the end of the season because, look, we just got to change something. Sorry, but it's probably not you. How many teams are calling Ty Lue to hire him?
There's
Darvin Ham's phone ringing?
It's going to take a long time for that phone to ring again. It's going to take time.
And I think that's your answer. And just because you want continuity, just because you want some economic stability, and look, I don't want to have to pay a fifth guy not to work. I understand the impulse, but to your point, it's the Lakers. This isn't a high school basketball team where, you know, I only have X amount. You can do whatever you want, really. And because you can't change personnel all that dramatically, you got to try to find a better solution in other places, and letting that ride is a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, and I'll just go back to this. Are you watching games saying he had his imprint in this or his imprint in that?
Yes, and it was all negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an imprint, and it was bad. Even a net zero, a neutral. All right, fine, just roll it again. Mm-hmm. It's negative. Ask Emily, coming up next. Don't ask her why I'm old. That's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And if you call right now, 877-710-3776. You got a chance to win a four-pack of suite passes to LAFC versus Portland. It's coming up on April 27th. The game is at 7:30. Caller number 7 will win. 877-710-ESPN. Right now, Travis Lee, 710-ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
877-710-ESPN. If you would like to ask M on the phone, that's how you do that. 877-710-ESPN. And of course, you can send them to all three of us, to Al, to Jorge, and to myself on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, at JabCamLA, at Travis Rogers. I'm going to start with this one. This is from 805 Raider in the Circle of Trust in the Travis Lee community. Yo, M, what was one of your biggest misconceptions about Los Angeles before moving here? And what is one of the stereotypical things you thought about LA that turned out to be true?
So,
full question there.
I feel dumb because I didn't really know the geography of Los Angeles. I had no one that I knew that lived here, no one that I knew that had ever lived here. And so I had no idea about like how big Los Angeles
yeah.
was. So that was a big misconception, that everything was by the beach. Like, it's that every that I would be like within 20 minutes from the beach, wherever.
No matter where you were, yeah.
And so that was a big misconception.
West Covina was on the water.
And that, like, everywhere that I've lived that's been near a beach has been flat. And that the beaches here are very rocky, hilly, cliffsidey, which has been honestly a benefit because it's beautiful. It's like beautiful to have those cliffs, those big...
the mountains go into the sea.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. That was a geography misconception.
What was true?
She has a beach towel and a cooler walking from Pasadena just on lake. She's like, it's right here,
right? It's going to show up any minute.
You know, I'm not far, but it's definitely not close.
Yeah, you're never far, but you are frequently not close. Yeah.
And then the misconception that was true is probably like the transplant environment, the transplant atmosphere of like Silver Lake, Highland Park, West Side, Culver City, Marina, but that everything's very expensive, everything's very TikTok-y in those pockets that you can find yourself in. I think that was like turned out to be true, that you can find those. A lot of transplants, a lot of people that want to spend a lot of money on stupid things.
The one that always kind of made me shake my head when people find out, when I moved to Texas, it was, where'd you grow up? I grew, born and raised in LA. And it's like, oh my God, like, do you work, you know, in the movie business? No. Like, not everybody here is in the entertainment industry.
But it is funny that there is a lot of people in the entertainment industry.
Of course there is. It is a huge driver, but there's 20 million people in L.A., and 20 million people don't work in the movie industry. And the other part, like you said about the beach, is kind of everybody, when they think of L.A., you think of Venice Beach or, like, Hollywood and,
Santa Monica,
and Sunset.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, there's bedroom. It's mostly communities.
Yeah.
There's a big city, but that's the part that always gave me a loop. Sleep.
Okay, you said you're going Capitano Matt, right? So I'm going to save that one. It's a good one, too. Raider Rubin, if you could save one material thing from a fire, what would you say?
I mean, obviously, safe, good answer is my birth certificate, my Social Security card, that stuff. Okay, other than that, I don't have a lot of things I feel like that I would sacrifice something for. I might do, I mean, again, sentimental things. I have some things for my grand...
That jacket.
The jacket. Barber jacket.
My grandmother gave me a pin when she passed away, as well as I have a piece of her artwork that I'd want to keep.
Your grandma's an artist?
She painted something. Okay. And so she had that. So I liked those two things that I probably keep. And then if I'm going like cheesy, corny, I mean, probably my bike or my laptop.
You know what's funny? Because the answer to that is almost always one specific thing. But I didn't think you were going to give it simply because of the generation you're a part of. For me, the answer, and maybe it might be the same for you, and maybe it might, the answer was always pictures. Well, your pictures are on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So it's like we have boxes of pictures from when our kids were little that are actual photographs. Sure. That if they're gone, they're gone. You can't get them back.
Yeah.
But for you, it's like all that stuff's digital.
Yeah, you can't digitize them if you ever wanted to, but it is.
Seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Yeah.
Jorge.
All right, Capitano Matt wants to know, which of the following is the biggest red flag? He doesn't like movies, he doesn't like sports, or he scoops his bagels.
That's a good one.
I think for the first two, it's how he approaches that subject. If he says it's the difference between doesn't like sports and hates sports. And so I think if you hate sports, I think that would be an issue because you hate something fundamentally that I love.
Yeah.
If you don't care, that's okay. I can talk about other things or I can introduce you to something that you might like. But if you have something like, I will not go past this line, then I think that we might not get along. Same for movies. Again, if there's a hate, then that's different than I don't really see that movies that often. Then maybe I can, again, convince you, maybe go to a movie, see if you like it, see if you like my suggestions, then there you go. But then, yeah, if you scoop a bagel, no.
It's a non-starter.
Non-starter. That just means that you have bad decisions in your life.
That means you're a lunatic. Porky writes, I like this one a lot. If you had to describe everyone on the show as a type of food, what would they be?
Okay. So
interesting.
I think...
Isn't that good?
I think so, Travis. I would say that you're a solid, like, New York strip steak.
Take
very
it.
Consistent, a centerpiece of a meal often. So you drive the meal. The meal depends on if you're on, you're on, mm-hmm. And you're rarely ever bad.
Thank you.
And so I think that like a bad New York strip steak is bad.
Thank you.
New York strip is rarely ever bad. So that's New York strip. And so Al, I think that. You might be.
Dolma.
I think that you might be. Does it have to be like a certain type of food, or
no, pick whatever
you want. I was saying you're gonna be like a bagel because I think that when
scooped or not scooped,
not scooped.
Obviously,
it's not scooped.
Not scooped.
Yeah. I don't want to be insane.
I like you as a bagel because I think that it's.
That's a great sentence, by the way.
You're consistent again. Consistency in that when you're on and you're great, it's really, really great. And I think that like the best bagels can rise above anything else for me. So that's why I like you as a bagel. Jorge, I think that you are just great seasoning because I think that you, again, for a meal to be good, you have
to have the right flavor.
And if a meal doesn't have seasoning, the meal is bad. And so I think that we need you as seasoning for our meal.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. What would you call yourself?
I think maybe if I'm not the food item, I think I'm the cutlery that you need to have me to in order to have all the rest of the things.
You know what I was going to give you?
What?
The drink.
Sure.
You're the cocktail that makes it better, that elevates it.
Yeah, that's we good. Can do that.
Yeah. You could be the martini.
Being a... Being a cocktail is a good thing.
I said tahine. I called him tahine.
Whatever
like
spice
tahine.
You like. Cumin, garlic powder,
paprika.
Whatever. Yeah. Salt.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's rare when you're watching a baseball game when you hear something and you just know what happened without ever seeing it. It happened last night. That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.